Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Stephen Sports Blog, here only on MSL Radio.
What is good, Miami Nation? We're going to have to get that fixed because this is no longer Stephen Sports Blog. This is SCU and Wally here on MSL Radio. With me today, as always, Casey Wallach. Casey, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. You? And also with us today, we have, I'm sorry. Really good.
No, I was going to say, how are you doing?
I'm all right. Better today than yesterday, and even better tomorrow here at SCU and Wally. And today with us, we have Eric Robinson, the co-host of the Andrew Powell Show. Darren Williamson, Eric Robinson. And that's Eric right there.
The voice of reason.
The voice of reason? Oh, stop it, Casey.
Wow.
Stop it.
They need
you. Check out Eric on the Andrew Powell Show, Darren Williamson, Eric Robinson. 8 to 10, Monday to Friday here on MSL Radio. But right now, I just have to get something off my chest because it's been bothering me the past few days. Now, I said a few times on Twitter and here on the show, I said yesterday, that maybe LeBron's time is done because he's now, you know, he's won his two titles, he has MVP, he has all this other stuff, and I think he should just move on because he has so much, there's so much more in life that you can do besides basketball, and I think he just needs to explore it all. And I can't tell you how many people have told me, bad journalist, you're an idiot. This, that, and the other thing. First off, it's an opinion, people. You all have, especially you salty-ass Heat fans, you all have opinions, okay? Especially the ones down in Miami. You kidding me? You guys had a party after LeBron lost the finals. Get over yourselves. Not only that, opinions. You guys have much worse opinions than I do on, like, every player in the NBA. I have an opinion on all you bandwagons, and I'm getting bashed for it. And the other thing is, if you want to call me a bad, before you call me a bad journalist, you want to look at my Twitter bio, and that'll tell you otherwise, so. Okay. So that's basically it for my thing, telling haters off. So you want to check my Twitter bio before you, go ahead.
You okay, Steven?
Oh, yeah, I'm good now.
You're all right?
I have to tell the haters off. All they do is try to call me a joke and fake your bad journalist. All this other stuff is bothering me.
But yeah, you already know. You've been doing this long enough to know that they're going to be around. So
it's nothing. Yeah, well, when I'm working with, you know, with you guys down in Miami and everywhere else in the world, they'll know who. They'll remember what they said. Moving on, because, you know, this is a professional show here. So I was watching this video on NFL on Facebook. It's the thing called the NIFL, the NIFL. I like to call it the NIFL. There's the word if in the middle. And one of the videos said, what if John Elway had never completed what's called the drive back in 1987 to beat the Browns to go to the Super Bowl? And whoever was hosting this video said that the Browns would beat the Giants in Super Bowl 21. That's insane. You had Phil Simms, you had Coach Bill Parcells. There's no way the Giants are losing Super Bowl 21. Broncos or Bill, or definitely not the Browns. Because as you two know, Cleveland hasn't won a title since Vietnam. Like, come on. And obviously it wasn't going to happen back then. But I just want to ask you guys your thoughts on this video about the Giants beating the Browns beating the Giants in the Super Bowl. Like, what are you guys' thoughts on that?
I've been trying to watch that video. I haven't gotten a chance to get around to watching it yet. But that Browns team, that particular Browns team, was good. But I'm not sure if they were Super Bowl worthy. You're talking about a Giants team that had Lawrence Taylor, Carl Banks, Yeah, like you said, with Phil Sims, Bavaro was on that team, Phil McConkey at receiver. Yeah, this is a pretty solid Giants team. So I don't think Cleveland would have beaten the Giants. But I think what the video was trying to get at was how, at that point in time, I think Elway was pretty much on the rocks as far as, you know, was he considered a franchise quarterback for the Broncos up until that moment that he had the drive. That says a lot as well. And, you know, who knows how history would have turned out if he didn't do that drive. But I don't think they would have beat the Giants. I think Giants would have still been a Super Bowl winner.
Yeah, I remember back in the 80s, there was a lot of questioning about John Elway after being drafted number one overall, 1983. The guy lost 4 Super Bowls in like 7 years. And they were like, why is he still playing? He's terrible. You know, the 90s came and he definitely shut them up. But Casey, getting back to the question, what are your thoughts on the possibility of the Browns beating the Giants in the Super Bowl?
I haven't seen the video, okay? But if it's the Browns, I'm just going to go to my default and say that nothing good comes out of Cleveland and they are chronically losers. So
oh my God.
That's my contribution on that one, because I haven't watched the video, and I'm being honest with you.
You guys are cruel when it comes to Cleveland, man. Goodness gracious.
I think we get it from Andrew, being on Andrew's show. It's just like
It's rubbed off because, you know, Casey was never like this. In the past couple weeks, I've seen a demeanor out of Casey. Like, it's just, he's a new woman now. So.
Right. Exactly. Casey,
yeah, he's rubbing off
changed.
On me. Probably not a great
Yeah, Andrew, we're going to have to scold you for rubbing off on Casey, making her hate Cleveland. Of course, I think the rest of us do, too, except LeBron, of course.
Yeah.
But we're not here
right,
to
we don't
Cleveland
hate LeBron.
Browns. You're right. Besides that, we don't hate LeBron. It's everything else except LeBron. But we're not here to talk Cleveland Browns here on SC with Wally with Eric Robinson. We're here to talk the Atlanta Falcons with Eric Robinson here on SC and Wally. Now, Eric.
Yes.
Mike Smith led the Falcons to, what, 2 number-one seeds in his 5 years, something like that? And then
led
since then, it's just
what?
I believe it was 2 number-one seeds in his 5 years in Atlanta. And now, you know, they've been on the decline, yes, but they have been a successful team. I don't agree with the firing of Mike Smith.
Oh.
But it happened. And now former Seahawks defensive coordinator Dan Quinn is the head coach in Atlanta.
Woo!
Obviously, he is great with the defensive side. So how do you see this Falcons defense playing out with Dan Quinn's expertise on defense?
Well, it's interesting we bring up this topic because not only am I a writer for Miami Sports and Lifestyle, but I'm also a journalist for Blogging Dirty, which is a Atlanta Falcons blog site. So I have plenty of input when it comes to Atlanta Falcons. I'm also a big Atlanta Falcons fan, just adding that in there. Now, when it comes to Dan Quinn, his hiring was very, very interesting because Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, pretty much took the first month or two of the offseason to decisively come up with a hire. He had his choice at Rex Ryan. He had Todd Bowles, who got hired by the Jets, but he waited for his guy. I truly think the firing of Mike Smith was needed, and it was coming. The writing was on the wall, especially with the way that the season played itself out. I personally, as a fan of the Falcons and as a writer, I love Dan Quinn. I love the hiring of Dan Quinn already. We haven't even played a game, and I love what he's already bringing to the table. He's changed the demeanor of the team. There's a new focus on the team now, even in minicamp. So I truly think that the hiring of Dan Quinn is going to pay off not only on the field but off the field as well, with the way the team focus, their football IQ, all that type of stuff. It's going to change, and I see the Falcons winning 10 games this year.
10 games, okay. Well, I definitely can agree with that. They have Matt Ryan. He's a great quarterback. They have great wide receivers in Julius Jones and Roddy White, who both coming back healthy after injuries last season. And they drafted Vic Beasley out of Clemson with the 8th overall pick. Great pick by the Falcons. So there's a lot to look forward to. And I actually found a list on Twitter, a complete list of things that Dan Quinn is fired up about. But in Atlanta, it's to be here, this football, offense, and there's other things like Fall Out Boy and Buster Keaton films. So Dan Quinn has not been there long, and he's already enjoying his time in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so.
It seems like it's a new atmosphere in Atlanta now. There's a, even from the players like Julio, Roddy White, the veterans that have been there, Matt Ryan, they see a different type of atmosphere in Atlanta already compared to what Mike Smith had. And that says a lot. When you already see it in minicamp, you haven't even gotten a training camp yet. You haven't even gotten pads on and position battles yet, and you've already seen a change of demeanor in the team. That says a lot. So to me, what I think that's going to carry over to training camp. You're going to see some position battles in training camp, play itself out. Already you've seen players, young players who didn't get the opportunity when Mike Smith was around. Now Dan Quinn is coming in. He's giving them a chance to be who they are. He's giving them a chance to bring – you know, the best out of the player. So you're gonna have a different team this year. There's definitely gonna be a different Atlanta team. You're not gonna see the same Atlanta team that got ran over the past couple of seasons, especially on defense. There's gonna be a different Atlanta team, and in 2 or 3 years, it's truly gonna pay off, and they're gonna be a consistent contending team.
Oh yeah, it's definitely gonna be a different season in the NFC South. Not even with the Falcons.
Yeah,
every team, because Tampa Bay has Winston. Drew Brees is gonna have a better season. Obviously. You got, obviously, the Falcons got Vic Beasley, and they
Carolina.
Got the receivers coming back. Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina.
They signed Cam Newton to a monster deal. So we're not going to see what we saw last season where the Panthers rammed over the Falcons to win the South at 7-9. That's not going to happen this season.
You're not going to see that, no. Now, the Panthers, there's a chance that Carolina may win the division, but you're not going to see what you saw the last game of the season where pretty much Atlanta just laid down. And, you're not going to see that. Those days are
especially not at the Georgia Dome. That game is going to be a revenge game when the Panthers visit the Falcons in the Georgia Dome.
That
when
game
we come
made
back,
me sick.
Yeah, I was hoping for a better game. But when we come back, Eric's going to stick around and talk NBA draft with us. This is SCU and Wallet on MSO Radio.
So at the end of the day, I mean, you could keep that to yourself. You don't even have to let anybody know because at the end of the day, you know, if somebody's coming out, you're getting all the attention. I'm not saying that's what Michael Sam's intentions were, but there's always another side to the story. At the end of the day.
Jesus Christ.
The Andrew Powell Show with Darren Williamson and Eric Robinson is 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time here only on MSL Radio Monday through Friday. Check it out. I know I messed up, but whatever. Listen to the show. Ah. Interested in advertising or sponsoring with MSL? Working for MSL as a writer? Even having your own radio show? Or do you have more of a business mind and want to bring your talents down here to South Beach? That's right. MSL has a big-ass help wanted sign up. Writers, radio personalities, marketing directors, website managers, positions are open. Apply today and make this money. Miami Sports and Lifestyle, baby.
Want to learn how to scan your swagger? Get insight on that and more from Dia Hicks every weekend, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on MSL Radio.
Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Inside the Sports World with Darren Williamson, Stephen and Andrew Powell is every Saturday between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Only on Double G Radio. Start spreading the
news. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a campaign underway. Let's give Miami the exposure that it deserves via Miami Sports and Lifestyle. MSL to ESPN. Love it, know it, support it.
Attention Miami, MSL is looking for writers for the Miami Dolphins, Miami Heat, Miami Marlins, Florida Panthers, Miami Hurricanes, and Florida International University Panthers. If you are interested, Contact Stephen Ur at Stephen_Ur@yahoo.com for details. Join the MSL team today.
We at MSL have a new blog site underway, miamisportsandlife.wix.com/MSLblog, for all your content surrounding Miami sports. Official site coming soon.
What's good, Miami? And I guess pretty soon I'll have to say what's good, Nation, since we're going national. But this is Andrew Powell, host of the Andrew Powell Show with Darren Williamson and Eric Robinson, and CEO, founder of Miami Sports and Lifestyle. As you all know, I talk about marijuana a lot on my show. I do consider myself an advocate for the legalization of marijuana. And why? Because this is a medicine that helps so many different diseases, including cancer. And if it were legalized, it could eventually form a cure for cancer. And we've all been affected by cancer before with family members. We need to legalize medicine because not only does it help out cancer, but it helps out so many different diseases. So many. We need to legalize cures. And not only that, but legalizing marijuana would decrease black market control and crime and increase tax revenue to give this country's economy a boost. And we all know we need that. This is a beautiful plant that should have never been made illegal in the first place. But because of racism, lies, and greed over the almighty dollar, it's now illegal. And patients and peaceful marijuana smokers suffer everywhere, even in 2015. We need to legalize medicine. We need to legalize peace. Let's legalize marijuana in 2015.
The views expressed by Andrew Powell are of Andrew Powell and Andrew Powell alone, and not the company and staff of Miami Sports and Lifestyle.
You are now listening to Stephen Sports Blog, here only on MSL Radio.
Are we there?
Hey, what's going on? Did we lose Steven?
I guess we are having technical difficulties with Steven. Wow.
All right. While we wait for him, I will reel us back in. You're listening to SCU and Wally on MSL Radio.
My bad, guys. Wow.
All right, cool.
I forgot. Sorry about that. I forgot I put my phone on mute because I thought, never mind.
Oh, all wow.
All right, see you again. bad week. Again, that's Stephen Wall here on MSL Radio. Stephen at third, Casey Wallach, Eric Robinson. In front of me, I have Chad Ford's mock draft 7.0, which I guess means this is his seventh mock draft. And he has Carl Anthony Towns, the forward from Kentucky, going number one to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, Eric, I know that you are NBA, NFL, MLB, whatever drafts, analysis guy. So why don't you go ahead and tell us who you have as your number one for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Right now, my number one has been Carl Anthony Towns. Now, I don't believe personally that Carl Anthony Towns is the best player in the draft. I believe Jahlil Okafor should be number one. Now, Towns is a great player. Don't get me wrong. He has athleticism, provides shot blocking, all that type of stuff. That's great. My thing is, Jahlil Okafor is so advanced offensively, especially for a young 19-year-old, it's hard to teach that to a player. It's much easier to teach a player how to be a defensive presence. Now, whether he has the shot-blocking ability or not, that's one thing. But it's easier to teach him how to be a defensive asset on that end of the court. It's hard to teach somebody who doesn't have the footwork, who doesn't have the polish on the offensive end like Jahlil is. It's rare that you see centers in today's game that, you know, can dribble out of a double team from the three-point line like Jahlil can. Like, I've seen him do plenty of times at Duke. That's why I feel he's the better player. He might not provide the shot-blocking ability and the defensive capability that Towns can, but I think he can be adequate. He can be good enough to get by on the defensive end. Needs work on his stamina a little bit, but as far as the offensive end, he's an automatic 18-10 guy right now. And that's just him being 19 years old and not having any maturity whatsoever when it comes to playing in the NBA.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Being 19 years old and having all this skill, that's going to help him a lot as he progresses in his NBA career. It's like you agree with Chad Ford. He has Karl Towns going number one overall to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Casey, do you have a number one pick? Do you want know who you got to see go number one to the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Well, now I'm starting to hear as we're getting closer to the draft, I'm starting to hear different things. I mean, you've got all this talk about D'Angelo Russell could possibly be moved up, or Porzingis, Kristaps Porzingis, is being they're floating around number one ideas of him with him, and obviously they play totally different positions. I don't know. I mean, I probably on all things draft I usually defer to Eric, but so I don't know what have you heard about the Russell moving up the draft line and Porzingis.
It's interesting because Russell he actually declined a workout for the Sixers a few days ago, and the Sixers hold the number three pick. So apparently within his camp, he's been hearing that he can possibly go one or two. That to me, that says a lot, especially with the draft about a week away, a week exactly from today. So I'm not really sure if Russell is going to jump those two big men, because it's rare that you see good big
right.
man come out of college. But I have Russell going third to the Sixers. But like I said, he's hearing that he can go one or two. I think right now, and you guys seen enough drafts to know that there's smoke screens everywhere. So I'm sure that's a possibility of just being a smoke screen. I have Towns going one, Okafor going two to L.A., and Russell going three to Philly.
According to Chad Ford here on the ESPN mock draft, Russell is the – well, he does agree with you that Joel Okafor goes two to Duke. I mean, two the Lakers. Wow. He's from Duke. Boy. But he has D'Angelo Russell going four to Ohio State. He wrote on Monday the Knicks are possibly trading their pick if Towns, Okafor, and Russell are all off the board at four. They tread down a few spots, grab someone like Frank Kaminsky, who will get – one second – and get a veteran to help them out. Obviously, that's going to help them a lot. They do get someone like Russell or Kaminsky or whoever to get. And obviously, they need another veteran besides Carmelo Anthony, who can't do it by himself. He's proved that last season because he gave up the Knicks halfway through the season. So, at 13 – and this shocked me when I saw it yesterday. Chad Ford has Frank Kaminsky going 13 to the Suns. Now, I obviously don't agree that he should go all the way down to 13. I don't know why his draft stock fell so hard, especially after being the undefeated Kentucky Wildcats. That's crazy. Eric, what do you think about Chad Ford having him going 13 to the Suns?
I hate to be a party pooper, but I have Kaminsky going to the Suns as well at 13 in my mock draft. Kaminsky is a talented player. Don't get me wrong. He's a really good center, really solid. The thing about Kaminsky is, and what's hurting him is the fact that there are so many more athletic and talented players in this draft that are honestly better than him, regardless of position. That is going to push Kaminsky down. Now, he fits in Phoenix because Phoenix doesn't really have any depth in their front court at all. Pretty much all their better players are in the backcourt. Now, they have 7'1" Alex Len starting at center, but they don't have anything behind him. So I think Kaminsky will be a good grab there for the Suns because he brings to them, I don't think he really brings much on the defensive end, but what he does bring is a 7-foot center who can stretch the floor and step out and shoot the three. And that's going to help the Suns, especially since they want to get up and down the court and they love to score points. So he fits there.
I agree he fits in Phoenix because he'd be a great addition for them, but he's much better than 13 if you ask me. Casey, do you think that Kaminsky at 13 is the right choice?
Well, you know, here's the thing. You know, I've seen him play, you know, obviously a fair amount this year, you know, for Wisconsin. I think he's a great athlete, you know, hardworking player, everything. You know, he's, you know, a couple of years older than, you know, the other big guys, you know, in that position. So that, you know, teams might factor that in a little bit, you know, for down the line, possibly. And, you know, he's not as powerful as some of these other guys are. And, you know, you need, you know, some of, you need that physical power and, you know, prowess, what, you know, whatnot. I mean, he's good with the ball and everything. I mean, I got nothing to knock on him, but if I'm comparing him to the other guys in the draft, you know, in that position, I would have to defer to them because he just doesn't have that, like, explosiveness that you see in some of these other guys. So, you know, I mean, I'm okay with him at 13. I mean, I could see him, you know, obviously a little bit lower, but, you know, not like in top five or anything like that.
The thing with Kaminsky is, I think he's already reached the ceiling.
Yeah.
I think he's gotten as good as he probably is going to get. Now, you don't have that with Okafor. You don't have that with Towns. You don't have that with a couple of the foreign players that are in the draft as well. So that hurts, you know, when you draft, you not only draft for now, well, especially if you're drafting that high, you're drafting for the future as well. So I think teams already know what they're getting out of Kaminsky. Not saying he's not a good player, but I think he's already reached his ceiling. I don't think he can really get any better than what he is now.
Yeah, and I agree with that, too. I mean,
okay, well, again, everybody has their own opinions on where Kaminsky should go. I think he's too low at 13. You guys think it's fine. But we will see on June 25th, next Thursday, at 7:30 here on ESPN, the NBA draft. We'll see where Kaminsky winds up, as well as other top players. So, Eric Robertson, I want to thank you for being on with me and Casey today here on SU and Wally and talking NFL draft and the Atlanta Falcons, because I know you love the both so much.
No problem, no problem.
All right.
Thanks, Eric.
All right, so we have about 3 minutes left. So we're just going to go through our last 2 cents for right now. I guess I'll go first. I don't have much. I don't know if Casey has much either. Oscar De La Hoya was challenged by Floyd Mayweather to get back in a ring with him. Those two would meet up and, you know, fight it out, like sort of like him and Pacquiao did. But Oscar De La Hoya has said there's no way he's getting back in a ring, especially with Floyd Mayweather. It's just not happening. U.S. Women's National Team has advanced to the round of 16 with a win over Nigeria. They will face Canes goalie Catalina Perez and Colombia this Monday at 8. I believe that's on Fox Sports 1. And that's all I have for my last 2 cents. Casey, we'll let you go.
All right. As we all know, it is that slow time of year. So we're going to get a little bit more creative probably with our last 2 cents. All right. I'm going to go with something funny first. Harrison Barnes, after the Golden State Warriors won, I don't know if you heard, he had never had a sip or smelled alcohol before. And after their finals win, he had alcohol for the first time, and he enjoyed himself very much. And, Steven, I know you can relate to this because your 21st birthday is coming up, and I know it's not the first time you've had alcohol. But
can we?
But,
oh, yeah.
So I thought that was fun. And then, let's see, the Clippers, their new logos, I don't know if you saw them, Steven, but they are, I think they're hideous. They're like clunky block letters, and I mean, the old logos were much better. I mean, I didn't mind the cursive script writing and everything, and they're supposed to be dynamic, and I don't know if the person doesn't know what the meaning of dynamic is that, you know, wrote up this description for these, because, you know, dynamic, it does not mean, you know, clunky block letters and everything. So I feel sorry for them, and they're already, like, the top level jerseys are, you know, they're like, oh, they're available today for $82.99. I don't know who's going to pay $82.99 for that crap. So, and then last note, apparently Tim Duncan of Spurs got $20 million stolen from him by his financial advisor, which is like, you know, because, I mean, Tim Duncan's late in his career, you know, you don't know how much he's got stored up, so got to pick better people to handle your business. And Johnny Manziel will no longer be doing the money sign. So is Johnny Manziel growing up? It's up for debate, I guess.
Well, this is now the exclusive part of the show. You can listen to this on blockthewarrior.com. Getting back to what you said about the Clippers. Yeah, they're basically, I'm just going to end the show right here. Their new sign looks like the Cubs. So look out for the Clippers to suck next season. Thank you, Kate, for being on. Thank you, Eric, for being on. We'll be back tomorrow.
You have been listening to Stephen's Sports Blog with Stephen Erden III, here only on MSL Radio.